There you go. Welcome, church. We've been looking at the full armour of God over some months. And at the end of that portion of scripture, it talks about prayer as well. Pray on all occasions and all circumstances. And we're looking at prayer, but prayer, I want to remind us, is part of that spiritual armour that God has given us. It's last week we looked at his name, Jesus, Mike, the Christ, our Saviour, our Lord. It's the name that's bigger than just Jesus, isn't it? It represents the power and authority that was given to the Son through the Father, and we experience it through the Spirit, yes? So when we start to delve in and look at prayer, there's lots of books, lots of resources, lots of videos, and I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, because what I have to say, I don't believe is a revelation, but it's a reminder for who we are and what we can do because of what God has done for us. And when we look at his church will not fail. His church will go forward and he'll come back for us. So we are going to be looking at what Jesus said when his disciples said, teach us to pray. And he said, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. And we looked at his name, and your kingdom come. And when I think about the kingdom, you look throughout scripture and it talks about the kingdom that's to come and the kingdom that is now. So John the Baptist would say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's paving the way. It says he makes straight paths for Jesus to come, and he says he's not worthy to baptize him, yet God comes and he endows him with the Spirit. And then we have Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is in you. It's there, it's in your midst. And then he says, pray, Father, your kingdom come. So we have the kingdom that we can experience now, and we have a kingdom that God is going to ultimately come back, rule and reign. But there's also a kingdom within us. And when Jesus talks about the gospel of the kingdom, that's what we preach, isn't it? The gospel of the kingdom. So when I speak about kingdom, I'm just going to use some scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to inspire them to you so that you can glean from them and say, okay, Lord, you're encouraging me to live a kingdom life, knowing that there is a greater kingdom to come. And it may sound as if it's a contradiction that we have a kingdom now, but we also have a kingdom to come. But Jesus said himself, kingdom is in you. The kingdom is in your midst. So let's just look at some scripture and see what we can glean from it. Now, in Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus has just said, he's been talking about the stones being pulled down, and his disciples say, when will this happen? It says in verse 3, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end will still come. So Jesus is telling his disciples that there is the now, but there is something coming in the future. In verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom will rise against kingdom. So when we think about a kingdom is ruled by a king, isn't it? Now for us, we preach the kingdom of heaven. We preach the righteousness of God. We preach the king and the lordship of Christ. That's the kingdom that we're talking about. But there are natural kingdoms. And if you look at the United Kingdom, it had an influence on many nations around the world. And when I went to Uganda, for instance, we would go towards the coast and we could see the buildings that looked as if we was in Britain, in pre-war Britain. When you looked at the language, even in the temperatures where it's sweltering hot, they're wearing suit and ties. Why? Because our kingdom had an influence upon them. And our king has an influence upon us, his children, his family. He says, don't be alarmed. Such things must happen. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. In verse 9, then you will be handed over and persecuted. This is not good news, is it? But when we speak about the kingdom, it's the fullness of the kingdom. It's the fullness of the gospel. So for me and you, I want you to grasp the fullness of what God is saying. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we are ruled by our King. Jesus is Lord of our lives. Therefore, if we ask for a fish, he'll give us a fish, not a stone. So although it may sound as if this is not good news, let's continue to read. Then you will be handed over and persecuted and put to death. He's talking to his disciples here. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. And we can understand that to a certain degree, can't we? At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's why I feel it's important for us to be reminded of kingdom living. What Jesus teaches, what his apostolic teaches, what the prophets show us. The foundation that we build upon. But the one who stands firm. Now, this is not a play on word. It's the same structure. To stand firm is to be of a good footing. And when scripture says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. And it says, now stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around you. Stand firm. So we're encouraged, church, to stand firm. Even though we've just read what Jesus has been saying to his disciples. Stand firm to the end and you will be saved. We need to persevere, don't we? In verse 14. And this gospel, and he's speaking now, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom there and then while he's on earth. And I want to look at one or two scriptures, and I won't go backwards and forwards because I'll get confused. So I'll leave some of my scripture up on the board there. Try not to read too far ahead because you might miss something. In Matthew 13, verse 11, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Who does not have even what they do have will be taken from them. Jesus starts to speak in parables. He starts to speak about wisdom and about knowledge when he's talking about the kingdom. Not everybody can acknowledge this kingdom. Not everybody can see this kingdom, especially the religious of the time, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had a hard time understanding kingdom living. In Matthew 21 verse 43, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. I remember the first time many years ago I had the privilege of ministering to a midweek group. And I'd prepared on the stone that the builder rejected. I looked and cross-referenced everything to do with stones. And I had my three Bibles set out and my amplified Bible, and I had it all figured out. And many of you will know that I'm dyslexic, and this was about 25 years ago. And I got up to minister, and as I looked at my Bible, I couldn't see a thing. All the words just went into a line, and they were so small I couldn't read them. And I'm going, God, what do you want me to do? And then he showed me this scripture. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. And when we look through scripture, many times we talk about the stone that the builders rejected, the capstone, the cornerstone, a representation of Christ. And suddenly I saw a picture that when we fall upon that stone, when we fall upon Christ, we are broken and God mends us, doesn't he? That's the gospel. When we fall upon that stone, we're broken and God mends us. But if we don't fall upon that to become broken, to be mended, it falls upon us and crushes us. And so we're talking about the stone that became the cornerstone, the foundation stone that the gospel, the kingdom of God is built upon. This is a portion of scripture that if we become familiar with it, then it will surely bless us and encourage us. In Matthew 13, 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Now, you're familiar with the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God, is scattered about, and it falls on different types of soil. It says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, it's the gospel message about the kingdom. So what is the gospel message about the kingdom? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's have a look. See what the Bible says about it. In Romans 1:16, it asks the question, it answers it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is the gospel about the kingdom. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation. That's what the gospel of the kingdom is. It's power that brings salvation. Sinners will be saved. The blind will see. It says salvation to everyone who believes. So it's something we receive by faith. There's power there. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. That's all of us. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Salvation is about the power of God, that we have come and we can see the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We can receive a right standing because of our faith in him. That's the gospel that we're talking about, the good news. All have fallen short, but God came to make up the shortfall. Amen? Amen. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. Anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. The thing that's sown within his heart. So we're talking about the living word, and we're talking about the world in which we live in. And the kingdom is preached. It's a kingdom that we can be right with God through the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And that comes through faith. And that's a gift that God gives us. But we have an enemy, don't we? The Bible says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. One of the things I believe within church life, and you know me enough now, those that have been with us for a long time, I keep away from politics. However, it's all around us. Everything is political. You know, whenever we speak about truth and justice, then what the Bible says will happen. We will suffer persecution. That's why I believe it's important for us as a church to know who we are, who he is, and what he said about us. To know about his name, and to know about his kingdom, and to know about his principles. Because we all know someone that used to sit beside us in church, and because of God's doctrinal truths, they no longer sit beside you in church. That's sad, isn't it? But scripture is true. There are people that will hear the word and it will be snatched away from them because of lack of understanding. The evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in their heart. The seed that falls on the path, the seed falling on the rocky ground, refers to someone who hears the word about the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. Only lasts a short time. So we need to be rooted, don't we? There's a saying that I preached on this some years ago. To be rooted in the church. To be planted in the house. And if we're going to plant, we need to be rooted. If you have plant pots at home, they're so convenient, aren't they? Because if you move, you can take them with you. You know, the bulbs will still come up because they're in the pot. But when you feel that you're going to be there for some years, you take your plants out of the pots and you put them in the ground, so that they can root and grow without so much watering and caring for. Because you know that what God provides will be enough. As the root goes down, it will search for water, won't it? So we need to be rooted in God's word. As we're rooted in God's word, it says, if you're not rooted, it will last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, because of God's good news, the gospel, they quickly fall away. And we don't want to be like that. And may I suggest that if we sit under God's revelation, if we sit under his word where we're challenged and encouraged to believe what the Bible says about us, not just one part of the Bible, not just one part. Jesus quoted in Isaiah, in the Gospels about Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He quoted half of it, and the other half is yet to come. He came to save, but he's coming back to judge. And people like when he's come to save and he's come to give us all the good things, but they don't want the judgment. But for us as Christians, we can't have one without the other. We can't have the good without the bad. And we can't have the good without the bad, without experiencing the ugly at times. Because when we think about God's kingdom, and I just want to say that there's times where we could say to others, you know, become a Christian, everything will be fine. Is that true?
No.
Become a Christian and then your troubles will start. But be of good cheer. There is a kingdom to come that you will be part of, because this life is but a vapor. So we meet together to encourage one another. And I want to preach good news, not bad news. We might hear about the trouble and the persecution. We might hear about the enemy coming in to rob, steal and destroy. But we also hear that we are more than conquerors, don't we? We also hear that God's given us an armour, a spiritual armour. We also hear he's given us a name that is above all every other name. We also know that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Is that true? So this is good news. So they hear the word, they don't have any root, persecution come and they fall away. Then it says in verse 22 of Matthew 13, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Let's not be unfruitful. Scripture says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Let's be fruitful, not unfruitful. In verse 23, but the seed falling upon good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. Understands it. So this is why I believe it's important for us to come to church together, not so that you can get some new revelation, although that's good, but so that you can be persuaded that this word is true, that this word is alive, and that this word is living in you, and that this word is coming back for you. In the beginning was the word became flesh, the flesh became spirit. Yes, Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. So Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And we're talking about kingdom today. But the seed that fell on good soil referred to those that understand it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. That's what I want to be, don't you? See, God's given us all a measure of faith. He's given us all a measure of grace. He's given us all a gift. He's given us all an ability. And all he wants us to do is use what we've got. And if we use what we got, then we can experience kingdom and see kingdom expand. And let me encourage you with what it says about the expanding kingdom. In Matthew 21, verse 43, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to people who produce its fruit. So we want it not to be taken from us, but to be given to us, don't we? We want more of his kingdom, not less of his kingdom. In 30, verse 40, it says this. The weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire. This is talking about kingdom. It says, the Son of Man will send out the angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, this parable, Jesus is saying, this is about the kingdom. What will happen is, within my kingdom, there'll be weeds, and there'll be a good harvest and a bad harvest growing together. There'll be tares amongst the wheat. Should I pull them up? No, let them both grow together. But what I will do is I will weed out of my kingdom the things that shouldn't be in my kingdom. So we're in the world, but not of the world. But we're still talking about kingdom. So it talks about challenges. It talks about walking beside someone that's growing in the same soil as we're growing in. They're in the same place of influence that we're in. But kingdom to us is about the way that we allow God to change our hearts, to encourage us, to challenge us, to understand that his kingdom lives within us and he won't leave us as orphans. The kingdom of their Father. God's coming back and he's going to rule and he's going to reign. But we're also still in the kingdom now. We're preaching a kingdom gospel and we're trying to live a kingdom life. In Matthew 25 verse 1 it says this. At that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were wise had oil in their lamp and the 5 who were foolish didn't. And when you look at this parable, when you look at this picture, we're talking about the kingdom again. It says the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 people, 10 virgins that are all coming and the bridegroom's going to meet them. And it says there's 5 that are foolish and 5 that are wise. And the wise ones had oil in their lamp so they could see in the darkness. And the foolish ones thought they would have enough, but they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming, so they ran out. And by the time they went to buy some more so they could see, it was too late, the door was shut. So there's times that we as Christians, we think we're full of oil. We think we have everything that we should have. And there's times that we can run on empty. So this portion of scripture encourages us, I believe, to not be foolish but to be wise. To be always ready. I remember some years ago I was under a pastor who had an awesome teaching ministry. But because of the way my mind worked, I couldn't quite grasp the things he was saying. We did a 10-week course on, are you an amillennialist, postmillennialist, premillennialist? I got lost. And I remember thinking to myself, what does this mean for me? And at the end, there was questions asked. And I wasn't being facetious. It was just something that was in my heart. And I put my hand up and he said, yes. I said, the parable of the 10 virgins, does it mean that I should live my life as if Christ is coming back? I should be prepared. He said, yes. I went, well, I don't care if I'm an amillennialist, premillennialist, postmillennialist. I just care that I'm a child of God and I'm going to heaven. I'm just encouraged that there's a kingdom that's going to come and the bridegroom is coming back for me, his bride. Is that true? So I'm not saying don't learn. I'm not saying don't be educated. But what I am saying is we're talking about kingdom. Jesus says, pray, your kingdom come. So when we're praying about the kingdom of God coming here to earth, we're praying about the end of times, but we don't want it to come yet because that's when he's going to come and judge. But we're encouraged to pray for it. Lord, your kingdom come. But we're also in that, I believe, talking about his kingdom, saying, Lord, change me, encourage me, help me to be wise, help me to keep short accounts, help me to love my neighbour as myself. These are all kingdom principles that we're encouraged with and challenged with as God speaks to us and through us. In Luke 17, verse 20, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. You won't know what time it's coming. You won't know. It says in 21, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Other translations, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. If you allow me to change you and challenge you through the gospel of the kingdom, then the kingdom lives within you. And so as we pray that prayer, Lord, your kingdom come, we can go on to our next bit saying your will be done. But today it's about kingdom. In Matthew 12 verse 28 said, but if by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's been accused, Jesus, of casting out demons by Beelzebub, by the devil. And he says, well, if I cast out demons by the devil, then who do you cast them out by? But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. You see, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and it lives within us. Because the Bible says that when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said, what do you mean, Rabbi? How can I be born a second time into my mother's womb? And he says, no, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You must be born again. It's a spiritual birth that's given by faith. And then the kingdom comes to live in us. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, the kingdom is in you. It's that kingdom of God. That's the spirit of truth that convicts us and encourages us to be kingdom livers, to be more like Christ. And John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There was a kingdom that was coming. Jesus says, behold, I'm in the midst of you. the kingdom of sin. There's a message that God anointed his people to preach. It's a kingdom message. It's a message of good news, of salvation. As it says in Isaiah, he's anointed to preach good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, isn't he? But he's also a God that's coming back to fulfill that kingdom message with judgment. So for us, we can be encouraged by understanding what God is saying to us today. Understand. But if it's by the Spirit of God, I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. God is an encourager, isn't he? In Matthew 13:31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man planted, and he put it in the ground, and it grew to be a very big tree. So what's he saying there? The kingdom of God, it may start out as something very small within our lives. You know, for me, when I became a Christian, I didn't have any butterflies. I didn't have an experience. I didn't shudder, shake, rattle or roll. I just had an opportunity to hear a message that I'd never heard for the first time until I was about 30 years old. I'd lived a colourful life. I'd had a lot of bereavement within my life, and I had a lot of anxiety within inside of me. I lost my parents when I was younger. My father died when I was 11, my mother when I was 30, my grandfather, who I loved to bits, when I was 8, and my brother-in-law, that was like a brother to me. And I was questioning life, and this message of the gospel of the kingdom, this powerful message, was preached, and I had an opportunity to accept it or reject it. And so by faith, I grabbed hold of it, small amount of it. And what this parable is saying is that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. You may have a small amount, but it will grow. How will it grow? I'm glad you asked. If you allow yourself to be planted in good soil and protect yourself by the word of God, using the armour of God, having the prayer that God's given us, that name that is above all other names, so when the enemy comes, he'll flee. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So how do we resist the devil? We tell him who we are. We tell him who he is. He's defeated. He's under our feet. He has no power, no authority, because you belong to Christ. It's the gospel of the good news. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, but it will grow into a mighty structure if you allow it to be planted so that God can use you. Looking in Isaiah, I want to read this. And although half of this was quoted by Jesus, and he says it's been fulfilled in your hearing, the other half is yet to come. So I want to read this portion of scripture for us. This is the portion of scripture that many of you will know that God called me into the ministry on. I was in America on a stage with thousands of people around, and as I was looking out, this was a song that was being sung. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. So God's given us, each and every one of us, a measure of his faith. And he's given us kingdom to live inside. He's given us his Spirit. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, Jesus says, but it's also upon you. It's also upon me. And why does God give us his Spirit? To preach the kingdom message, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news that salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. He's your Lord and he's your Savior. He's the one that forgives. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, those that have not heard it. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, the release of darkness for the prisoners. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now that's good, but also the day of the vengeance of our God, because we can't preach the good news without knowing what the bad news is. All those that enter this kingdom will be the sheep. All those that reject this kingdom will be the goats, and the goats will suffer, but the sheep won't. That's what the Bible says. It says, proclaim the years of the Lord's favour and the day of the vengeance of our God. But he'll comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. He'll look after his people, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. See, God is a good God for his people, isn't he? A garment of praise. And with a garment, you need to put it on. It's something that we can do. A garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. So if you want to get rid of the spirit of despair, kingdom message says put on the garment of praise. They will be called, who? Us. Oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. This is God's people that he's talking about. For the display of his splendor, God in us, the hope of glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. Ministers. A minister, that's what God calls me and you. We're ministers, we're co-workers in his field. You will feed on the wealth of the nations. Their riches will be their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in the land. Everlasting joy will be yours, for the Lord loved justice and he hates robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. And it goes on and on. And there's a couple more scriptures, please indulge me, I want to share with us. But this is the kingdom we're talking about. When we pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We're praying for us to be more like Christ, to change from the inside. Even though we may have a small amount, it can grow. We're encouraged to pray for the kingdom to come, that Christ will come back for a victorious church and rule and reign, and there'll be no more sadness, no more bereavement, but there will be joy. But we don't want that to come yet, because we want our friends, our neighbours and our families to be saved. See, Jesus came to bring salvation. That's the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. But also, the good news of the kingdom is that he's coming back, and he's coming back for a victorious church. In Matthew 13, verse 33, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took, and as she mixed it in, it went through the whole batch. So what's Jesus saying here? Let me suggest that the kingdom is like a small amount of yeast that keeps growing and growing and growing. You see, throughout history, man has tried to quench the Spirit of God. Throughout history, man has tried to kill and wipe out the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But what happens when persecution comes throughout history? That yeast has worked through the whole dough, and it expands and it grows and it grows and it grows. And Jesus says himself, pray that my kingdom come. Pray that my kingdom will come. It doesn't say that the kingdom is not going to come. It says, be encouraged, pray it in. So the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. It's going to spread. Nothing can stop it. You might hear of wars, the Bible says. Read Revelation, rumours of wars. Read scripture, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. So this gospel of the kingdom that I'm reminding us and refreshing us of today is about kingdom in us. The kingdom now, where God encourages us to be faithful, encourages us to plant ourselves in good soil, encourages us to be connected to the vine, encourages us to be pruned by the gardener, encourages us to stand firm, encourages us to put on the fullness of what God has given us so that we can stand against the devil's scheme, encourage us to pray that his kingdom would come and change us and multiply us and move in us and work through our whole very being until we are saturated by him. It's like yeast. It works through the whole dough. In Matthew 13:23, but the seed that fell on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. I repeat that because I want us to hear God's word but understand it. The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. If we're doers of the word, then we've understood the word. Is that right? So if we do as if the word, we've understood the word. And if we understand the word, then we're planted in good soil and we produce good fruit. So part of praying, Lord or Father, your kingdom come, is we're praying that God multiplies in our lives. That he cuts off the things that need to be cut off. That he works with the things that he can work with. That we are sinners saved by grace, aren't we? Yeah. But we're kingdom people. You know, we are victorious. Yes, God does want to prosper us. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. Of course he does. But we're not immune to suffering, are we? Is anyone immune to suffering? No. But that's the fullness of the kingdom message. But it's not just about this whisper, it's about our eternal inheritance as well. So when we pray, Father, your kingdom come, it envelops everything that we've been speaking about today. About the small growing into the large, about God encouraging us to be planted, about knowing that he's coming back for you and me, a victorious church. In Matthew 25, verse 14, I'm coming to an end. Again, it is the kingdom. So again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. One he gave five bags and so on and so on, according to their ability. The kingdom is like the king saying, I'm entrusting you with my riches. I'm entrusting you with my riches. This is what's being said here. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like a man who entrusted his wealth to his servants. We're his servants and we're his friends. Because Jesus says, I no longer call you servants but friends. We're co-workers in his vineyard. So if we're co-workers, co-laborers, and God's given us a measure of whatever it is, all he wants us to do is work with it. So he's given you a patch of good soil, work that soil. Move and allow God to take the ability, the God-given ability that he's given you, and see it expand. And how do I know it's going to expand? Because Jesus also said that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that grew into a big tree. How do I know it will get bigger? Because Jesus said it's like a small amount of yeast that will work through the whole batch of dough. So we know that we may have a small amount, and that's okay if we just want to use that small amount. That's all God asked of us. Remember when you read this parable talking about the kingdom is like things that God's given us. When we use what God has given us, what does he say? Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So whether you're a 10 talent or a 2 talent, doesn't matter as long as you don't bury your 1 talent. So this is the challenge of kingdom living. So when we pray, Father, your kingdom come, we say, Lord, multiply yourself within us so that we can bear much fruit. Yeah, that makes sense? Hope so, because I have a few scriptures left just to try and encourage us a bit more. In there's too many to go through. So I'll just pick maybe a couple. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he hid it again, then with joy he went and sold everything. Everything. He sold out for the kingdom. This is a challenge for us, isn't it? Oh, am I going to give up this, Lord, for kingdom? Oh, help me, Lord. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. You see, the kingdom provokes us, doesn't it? When we ask for his kingdom to come, it provokes us as Christians. When we want to say something that's unsavoury, it provokes us not to. I said to you, I shared that I didn't receive any great revelation when I became a Christian. I didn't shake, shudder, rattle and roll. The first experience I did have, though, was one of conviction. For the first time in my life, when I had some choice words to say to someone, I got back in my vehicle and I was frozen to the steering wheel, and it felt someone had put a blanket on my shoulders and I didn't understand it. And I'm talking to myself saying, what do you mean I've got to go and apologise? That's the kingdom in me. I was listening to the kingdom. What do you mean I've got to say sorry? So I stomped into the office and I looked into the face of the person that I just berated. And I said, Jamie, the things in which I said, I stand by because they were true. But my attitude and the way in which I spoke, I'm sorry. That's kingdom. From that moment, kingdom started to grow within me. I understood what it was to be convicted. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying that God comes to permeate every part of our life, aren't we? So are we going to sell out for God? This is a challenge, isn't it? The kingdom is like a merchant looking for pearl. He finds the pearl of great wealth. Is he going to forsake all others and serve the Lord? This is a great encouragement, but challenge for us. That's all part of the kingdom when we pray, Lord, your kingdom come. In Luke 15:20, it says, so he got up and went to his father. Now, this is a great story. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him filled with compassion. You know this story. This is the story of the father that had two sons, or the prodigal that came home. He wanted what he wanted. He wanted his inheritance and he wanted it now. And he went off to a far country and squandered it. Yes? You know the story? Yeah. This is a story about kingdom. Because this is a story about the compassion of the Father. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father, our King, our Lord. When we go off and squander what God's given us, even if we've only got a small mustard seed, then if we choose, remember that story, it says, and the son, coming to his senses, he stepped out of the pig pen and he started on his journey home to the Father. And there's times for us where we will feel that we're failed. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, there'll be times where you think, oh God, that wasn't my best. Oh Lord, help me. Father, your kingdom come. Work through me. Let that yeast come into my life. Purge out and fill me, Lord. I want to sell for you, Lord. I want to sell out. I want to pursue you and find you. Lord, I'm coming back. And God says, come. See, that's the gospel as well. That's the good news of the kingdom. We're not people that say, ah, sorry, mate, you messed up. You're on the way to hell. No. With people that says, no, God says, if you repent, I'll forgive you. So for us as his children, how much more? When we, and I'm talking about the church here, because we're the sons, aren't we? We're the sons and the daughters. When we decide that we don't want to serve the Father anymore, we want to serve ourselves. And that's what's happening in the world, isn't it? Churches are becoming self-centered instead of God-centered. Should we say that? But that's true, isn't it? Their identity is wrapped up on what they feel rather than what God says about them. But for us, this is the God we serve, the God of compassion that says, if you'll come back, I'll take you. That's the kingdom message as well. So, Father, your kingdom come. So if you're a long way off in a part of your life, or there's a part of your life that you've not allowed the yeast of God's word to permeate, then just say, Father, I'm coming back. And the God of compassion will come back. So that kingdom is still at work today. I hope this is making sense to us. I hope it encourages you. I'm going to scroll up because you can see I've got a myriad of scripture left here, but I'll read this one. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 19. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And I will find out not only what those arrogant people are talking about, Paul says, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. See, it doesn't matter what we say if we don't have kingdom in us. It doesn't matter what I say if it's not backed up with the power of God. And that's not the power that I have, it's the power that lives in me. Because remember what Jesus said? The kingdom of God isn't a matter of saying, there it is, here it is, it's in you. That we're born of his spirit, so we have a part of his kingdom that will continually challenge us, to change us. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we can pray that God changes us so that we can minister the good word and be fruitful people, but also at the same time believing that he's going to usher in the final day, where he'll come as the judge. But he won't judge us according to sin. He'll judge us according to what we do and what we say, but not according to sin. So that's good news. So when we think about the kingdom and we pray it in, it's the fullness of the gospel. Honestly, let me leave you with this scripture. In Revelation 3, it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, he will come in and eat. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. One of the keys to the kingdom is knowing his voice, hearing his voice and letting him in. Because if we pray, Father, let me encourage you. There you go. Father, your kingdom come. I believe we're saying, Lord, multiply yourself within me. Lord, help me to plant myself in good soil. Lord, help me to be watered by your word. Lord, help me to change, to be challenged. Help me, Lord, to forgive. Help me, Lord, to take the forgiveness that you've given me. Help me, Lord, to grow and branch out Help me, Lord, to believe that you're coming back for a victorious church. So far, I'll leave you with this. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your name. We thank you for the armor of truth you've given us. We thank you for your word that sustains us. And Father God, we pray that your kingdom would come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.